Are we live, Clive?
We're live.
I was hoping he was going to do a Scottish accent.
Oh, yeah. No, that was just more of a Clive accent. So, Clive ain't here.
Sadly.
But luckily for you, as our millions of listeners, so obviously we're going to have the usual suspect, Bob, Luke, and Mitchell, not that we've actually introduced ourselves ever, but we're going to make a bit of a difference here and give an introduction for someone because we've got a very special guest with us today. So this man, he's elite at every sport he plays. He's an ex-semi-professional football player for the infamous Lee Chapel North FC, has an impressive golf handicap of 58, and ran around the park a couple of times. He's often described by his peers as expressively aggressive and has a sophisticated palate, often frequent in the finest restaurants in Essex. And you know when he's around, whitebait is always on the menu. Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce Byron's brother-in-law, Tom.
That goes wild.
Hello, everyone.
Oh, dear.
What an introduction.
That was brilliant.
Hi, Tom.
Hello, listeners, all seven of you.
I think hello, it's Mom. Nice, Tom, to have someone in their 40s on the podcast with us.
Inclusivity.
What you mean is someone on the podcast who actually frequents football matches in person.
Here he goes.
Yeah.
And there I'm off. Not like you armchair Muppets.
Yeah.
Anything to say, Tom, before we make a start?
Just an honour to be here, lads. You know, I think we will miss Clive. We miss his guidance.
Yes.
I'll fill in the ums if you want.
Yes, please.
I think Clive's enjoying himself, let's put it that way.
Yes. Let's not mention any of that, Tom.
I've been cancelled already.
I mean, he's in Thailand, so he can read between the lines.
But this one's for you, Clive. Should we make a start then? So, Luke.
All right.
Do you want to talk us through today's game?
Nice it's Liverpool.
Game against Liverpool.
All right, let's just stay this year. It's Liverpool, top of the league. They're a pain in the ass team for Tottenham. Yeah. I said this last week, we were going to lose, even though I put Tottenham as a draw, just because I told you I'm not going to put any result of Tottenham losing. Just because I'm a stubborn motherfucker.
You're wearing an Arsenal shirt, mate.
No, that's not happening. Don't start, all right? Yeah, don't you start. No. Where do I start with this fucking game?
Do you want to mention the fact that you predicted the future? You did that.
The financial advice, obviously, take it as you will. So not financial advice. I was correct in Salah scoring. So if you did make a bet, well done to you. You've won a little bit of money.
10p.
Yep, counts. Every cent counts.
Luke, don't talk yourself down. I reckon you've made at least two people out there millionaires by that prediction.
So. Yeah, probably. The game. I mean, we ended on with the most possession.
Dominated again, did you?
Dominated. Yeah, from their 24 shots to our 9.
What about the individuals?
And aerial duels. Let's not talk about aerial duels. 66% they had. That's ridiculous for Tottenham. But then again, they've got quite a few tall players. The game. Okay, start off with the game. So, from the get-go, I mean, Liverpool just looked good. Everything they did passing was just phenomenal. Every pass, every second ball they won, they just outplayed us. And every time they looked like they got forward into our box, they were going to score. And with Tottenham at the moment, the way we're playing from the back and then Forster nearly gave them a chance to score like the first 5 minutes or so of the game. Then they got their goal. And they got the next one. And the next one. Don't know what to say. The shit. It's a shit game. It was a shit game. The performance was shocking. It was what Ange wants. And I guess from the neutrals, they probably neutrals love the game. You know, 9 goals in that game, end-to-end football. And that's what Tottenham, you know, wants. They want that attacking football. But we've said it before, if we want to win those games and we're not really going to defend as well as like what we did with Conte and Mourinho, then we've got to score more goals than your opponent. And Liverpool's always a bogey team for us anyway, regardless. But I'm just frustrated that we turned up in the second half.
We conceded
goals as well. But I think the only reason we turned up in the second half, near the end of the second half, should I say then, is because they took players off. They, you know, took the foot off the pedal, and that's why we was able to score a couple of goals. They're good goals, but just not good enough. Like, defending was not good enough. And Dragerson, not good enough. Gray is obviously young. I see him leave his man a few times, and that's what cost us a goal. Dragerson again, not tracking back. Like, the players headed the ball, then ran past Dragerson, and then got a pass to him and then scored. It's like, well, follow your fucking right. If that was Van de Ven, well, the player wouldn't even be in front of Van de Ven.
The Dutch lad.
Yeah, the Dutch lad, as Clive calls him. It just, yeah. And then Salah.
Your defense
got lucky.
Awful. I'm just watching the highlights now.
Yeah, it's terrible.
My problem with it is, right, so you know that you're missing your two centre-halves, right?
Yeah.
And
so you're playing against Liverpool, arguably the best attacking force in the Premier League at the moment.
Agreed.
Why aren't you... I know that he keeps saying that he doesn't want to change the way he plays and all that kind of stuff, but why... How can you not? Like, this is what's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
Or no?
Like, no, but it's going to happen. We've played... I don't know how many games we've played now this season. We've played enough games this season now to know that he's not going to change the way that he plays. He may change some of the way the players, like, he's main tactics.
He's not adapting at the beginning. Then, is he?
What's that?
He's not adapting then, is he?
No, he's not adapting. The only adaption he would do is maybe bring on, I don't even know what he'd bring on, to be fair, where we play more attacking, where you'll see him push up like early straight game, like push up, he may change it so that we're a bit more controlling and let them press onto us a bit more than us pressing the team. And then we go on a bit of a counter, but still keep that attack in front. You have to watch the games that he's done this season. That's the only time he changes. It's not like he's going 5 at the back, and then we counter attack. He'll just put someone in there that would just, I don't know, sit a little bit more, and then still keep the attackers up top than tracking back and defending.
It's mad because, like, I mean, Liverpool's defence is great, but the three, you got three against them, and they were three great goals.
Yeah,
but your defence was just so fucking shocking, and I think your goalkeeper was a little bit lacking for a couple of them goals.
I mean, you can't say that they've got the two centre halves missing and the goalkeeper missing.
Yeah,
but to be fair, I mean, you lost games before they got injured as well. So
agreed. Not to this extent
where you've conceded 6 at home, but...
Oh, 100%. I agree with you, Tom. I agree. I think...
You can't hide behind the injuries. Everyone's got injuries. Like,
exactly.
Every team has got... You know, that's why you have to have the squad. I honestly think... I think Andrew wants the sack already. I think he wants
Luke
the sack.
Loves him. Luke wants him to stay.
No, I don't know. I don't want him to go. I said this last week. It's just... And I also said about the injury. Of course. You like seeing Spurs in misery. Yes, injuries play a big part in anyone's season, you know. And yes, as you said, a squad. We've got a squad. That's the reason for having a squad. And missing three of your best players, good defensive players, and a good goalkeeper, it's going to hurt the team. Like Jed Spence, watching that game, I was trying to find any fault for Jed Spence as to any of the mistakes, anything. Like, he had Salah in his pocket. Well, that first half. He did. In that first half, he had Salah in his pocket. Salah had to cut in. If you watched the game again, or you didn't watch the game, Mitch, but you watched the game, you'll see Salah try and come in near Gray instead of staying out wide. Like, Jed Spence was really good against him. And then you see the two goals that he scores. Jed Spence wasn't his fault for him. So the guy has been doing great. I mean, he's got great pace as well. He's been good. I can't fault him. Porro, shocking. not getting tight enough or just making mistakes. Gray and Dragosin just don't know what they're doing. At the back, they don't know if they're to hold the line, follow the runner. They're just not, just not working. Midfield, Maddison was quiet. He got the goal, fair play to him, but he was quiet. Kulusevski worked his socks off like he always does. Son was shit. I hate saying it about him, but he was shocking. But yeah, Solanke putting the work rate as he always does, but if you're not getting the service like anything, what can you do? You're a striker. You have to feed off the service. Well, the game was frustrating. And I know fans would be like, oh, we still scored 3 goals, but we scored the last 2 goals when they took players off and they, you know, took the foot off the pedal, as I mentioned. But Ange leaving, it's going to hurt Tottenham again. It sets us back again because he comes in with new staff will come in, new training methods will come in, new players will come in, and probably players leave as well.
Yeah, but if he's not willing to adapt, you're never going to win anything.
But he's trying to put across his way of football. Could you imagine playing Ange football, yeah, and having the players that Man City have got? Because they've got players like Rodrigo. They've got players, Kyle Walker, obviously, a bit different now with injuries and whatever else, and he's getting a bit older now. But with their defence, like some teams it works for and some teams it doesn't. With Tottenham at the moment, Dragosin's not up to standard for defensive. Gray's not up to standard. He's only 18, the guy, and he's played every position at the moment on that pitch other than striker.
He don't look ready at all, that Gray.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. And
was he the guy that went in the back of Palmer in the Chelsea game? Just give the penalty away out of nothing. Was that him?
No, that was Saar.
Oh, Saar. He lost his runner, though, that guy, didn't he? I remember watching it thinking, what's he playing?
Yeah, but yeah, the Gray's been losing his runner and stuff like that. And you work with what you've got. He's in a squad player. He's played him. He's getting experience. Fine. But Tottenham, at the moment, I don't know what to say. Like, we could get, like you said, we lose games even with our back four. So we just don't concede as much, like six.
Do you think if, say, for example, Ange, for whatever reason, woke up one day and thought, oh, do you know what, mate, I'm going to change it around a little bit. Like, do you think that would affect Spurs in any way? Do you think that this way that you're playing is the only effective way that your team can play? Or do you think you'd be better playing a different way?
I'm just thinking on that before I say anything.
Because he doesn't play. It's all right saying you want to play a certain way, and you've got a philosophy and all this kind of stuff. But if you lose your two centre halves and your goalkeeper for a start, and you want to play out from the back, and you're putting in players that aren't comfortable doing it, you're just creating, you know, problems for yourself, because you can see from that game in the Coca-Cola Cup the other night. Fraser Forster, he's a goalkeeper. He's a more sort of old school goalkeeper. You know, he's not there to play with his feet, and to keep giving him the ball and then wanting the ball from him when all he wants to do is hoof it out the field. It's all about the manager's going, well, that's our philosophy, and we'll let him get away with it. If it happens, we accept it. Like Maresca said it, I think, when Sanchez had done it early in the season. But at the same time, you're doing that to that player, but you're kind of hanging him out to dry as well, because that player's getting all the stick from all the pundits, all the fans in the ground. He don't know what to do with himself. And the manager's just sitting there going, well, yeah, but that's the way we want to play, isn't it? It's like, well, but you haven't got the players. You've got to adapt. Surely you've got to adapt to help those players. Just, you know, just be solid. Just try and be solid. You know, it's not like you're playing Southampton like the other week. You didn't even have to get out first gear to win that game 5-0. It was ridiculous how bad they were.
I know. Yeah.
They still played well, Tottenham. Still, you can only beat who's in front of you, obviously, but didn't have to do a lot, really. But when you're playing Liverpool, literally on form, one of the best teams in Europe, probably the best team in Europe on form at the minute, and it's just suicidal to play football like that against them.
Yeah,
with the players like that, you've just got to keep it as tight as you can.
Agree. Yeah. It's not working. And I like playing out from the back. I do, because you saw the game in Liverpool game today, and as you said, the Southampton game before, they gave so much space. As I mentioned last week, so much space. The Liverpool game, you see it when we played at the back, they were right on us, like pretty much what we've been doing to teams all season. Yeah. They've been coming right on us, and what happened, they kept losing the ball and giving the ball away, like with their back towards the goal and stuff like that. It's just it's not working. Some teams it works against, some teams it don't, and it's not working against Liverpool. So then you see Gray, Dragosin keep doing the long balls, but when you've got Van Dijk, and I can't remember the other centre back that they've got that's also pretty good in the air, they're winning those balls, so they bring the balls down, and then they're also winning the second balls. That's why Tottenham have stopped playing the ball in the air up top, because we're not always winning those second balls. So I can understand why we're playing it from the back, so that we can keep the ball, draw people in, find that space, and it's been working. And that's why we've been scoring quite a lot of goals. But it also leaves a gap as well when players go forward.
I'm sure it's better to mix it up, vary it, surely.
Oh, it is, but we've said this.
The same thing all the time. I mean, that's why I sort of half made a joke saying, like, I think he wants to get the sack. I mean, look at Russell Martin. Look at Gary O'Neill. Look at the geezer at Ipswich. The way they're going, it'll be the same. Their keeper's just playing out from the back, silly passes to his defender who's got two attackers up his arse. And you think, well, what are you giving him the ball for? If you keep doing it, it's just every week the fans are just going to be going mental. And even if Levy's like, well, he's my man, I want him to do it, and there's some more reasonable Tottenham fans who are like, yeah, he needs time, we've got to do it, what's the point of sacking him? If he's got 60,000 in the stadium screaming at him for his head, he ain't going to last.
I just can't see it.
First of all, a couple of answers. So Joe Gomez is who you was thinking of, Luke.
Yep.
Second of all, Kieran McKenna has apparently got the safest job in the Premier League, Tom, and don't you ever talk smack about Ipswich Town ever again. Right. But Luke, so how long would you let this go on for before you think this is a problem, maybe we need a change up? Because how long's he been there now? Is it a season?
This is his second season.
Second season, yeah. So how long do you let that go on for? If you finished, say, mid-table this season,
yep,
do you think it's then time for Ange to go?
Nope.
Oh, Luke.
Nope.
That would not stand at Chelsea.
No.
You get 6 months and that's it.
No. This is the problem. This is the problem. I think he even mentioned it, Ange mentioned it in the conference the other day, is that he was talking about managers and clubs don't give managers time to... How long is time for a manager to get the players, get the staff, have multiple transfer windows, and start building from that as well? Don't forget, players do take a while, and building a squad. If you look, I think we've got one of the youngest squads in the league at the moment. Where, you tell me, how many seasons is good enough? How long did Arteta get before they really nearly tried to get him out and then he won something?
I agree with you. I actually
think Arteta was lucky, to be honest. I think Clive said as much last week as well. If there was fans in the ground when we was in that COVID period, we lost five games in a row at home and against shit teams, you know. We lost to Everton, we lost to Wolves, lost to Burnley, teams like that. Five in a row. If there was fans in the grounds, I think it would have been a different story, potentially, but they didn't. But the thing that he did do, Arteta, he adapted with the players that he had. We won the FA Cup with fucking Mustafi and David Luiz. And we beat Man City and Chelsea doing that.
No, I don't care.
And it's like, he was like, well, they're not my players that I want for the future. They can't play that way, but that's what I've got. And we've got, he stuck a back three with wing backs and just tried to be as solid as we could. And it worked. And then he obviously changed as it went on. And he was given the time.
I think
Tottenham need to totally reevaluate what they think they are, because I think they just. I know you think I sound like a nutcase biased Arsenal fan, but history shows you can't just keep changing manager. You keep doing the same thing, you don't get any success. You have had great players over the last 10, 15 years, and have not. Not done as much as you should have with them.
But your
fans will be like, well, he's got to go. We need someone else. You know, and you've had Mourinho, you've had Conte, and even then they were trying to build a more solid foundation, and the fans were on their back saying it was boring football. So now you've got a great attacking football, but you're getting spanked at home, 6 goals. So there's a very fine balance, which is so hard to find.
Yeah,
I don't think you'll find it if you sack him.
It'll
be like you say, it'll be the same thing. It'll be a merry-go-round of more staff, more coaching, don't like that player, wants a new player, another transfer window, hundreds of millions spent, and you could still be in the same situation.
Yeah. Look at United, and everyone talks about how big United is. Exactly. They went like 3-4 seasons finishing below Tottenham, and everyone was like, well, United's still a big club. No one ever forgets how big that club is. It's like, well, we get that. We know how big Man United are, but they're not achieving what they want to achieve. And it's the same in a situation with Arsenal, is that when you lost Wenger, like, you were such a big club. You lost Wenger. Imagine if you then, because who did you have after Wenger?
Emery.
So then Emery went, and after Emery was?
It was Arteta.
Yeah, and then Arteta nearly fouled, and you gave him chance and let him think. Yeah. But if he fouled again, you would have had another manager. Now, I think personally, I think you'll be in the same situation as Tottenham. A change in managers is great for some clubs. I understand that, and it's just not working. But when you, she said, we've had Conte, we've had Mourinho, we've had Pochettino, we've had, was it Nuno Espirito Santos, whatever his name is, he's got a great name. He's not in the Forest, isn't he?
What would you give for him now?
Well, this is the thing. It's like, okay, Forest could just have one of those off seasons where they're now, like Leicester did when they won the league. Fair enough. But like, sometimes you have to give managers time and money to spend and build their club. Now, if it's not working, as you said, they need to reevaluate Tottenham. Is that okay? Are Tottenham at this point in time, are we happy for Tottenham for the next three seasons finish in top six?
No.
You know, as yes, it's not great as a club. Well, you know, everyone talks about a stadium and everything else. Facilities.
You know, to be fair, if you was talking logical, if you finish three seasons in the top six, then you're not going to be in the Champions League if you come fifth or sixth. But if you're in the top six, say one, you come third, the next is fifth, and then it's sixth or something like that. That's kind of reasonable in my eyes, because the game's completely changed now. Like, it's not a top four, you know. And even then, when it was a top four, there was a top two or three, and then a fourth place. And they might switch every now and then. It was usually Arsenal. But now, the top six isn't even a top six. You know, Newcastle have been in it. Man United have been in it. Like, at the start of last season, Man United and Newcastle were in the Champions League. Where are they now? They're like mid-table. Newcastle had a little bit of a come up, but they're mid-table. You know, Villa have gone into the Champions League, but Liverpool have been out of it. Arsenal were down in eighth for 2 years. You know, nowhere near it. So to keep at that level nowadays is so hard. It's so hard to do it, to be consistent. And I think if you panic, if you do come sixth after you've been in it 1 year and go, oh, we're going to lose the money, you never know. Like, Klopp done it. Klopp finished fifth or sixth 1 year, and then the next season they were pushing for the title again. It's just, every club has got so much money, so many good players, so many great coaches in the league. Anyone can beat anyone. This season shows it. The table's mental this year.
Oh yeah, table's.
Everyone is beating everyone. You can't pick you're trying to pick like the scores out with your mates and stuff every week. And I'll just look at it and go, that's a draw. Because that's a draw.
We try and do it and we get beat by a fucking robot. But I do agree with what Tom's saying though, in terms of, yes, they kind of had the same situation at Arsenal with Arteta, but he kind of adapted, whereas Ange just seems to be gung-ho and let's just go with this. But I guess if you're happy to have those inconsistent results and still finish about mid-table, then
I'll put that out. I'm content. We're content. Is that the word?
Oh, that's content. Nice. I like to hear that my friends are...
With Ange, because sometimes it's like, well, okay, we get rid of Ange, you get another manager in that just wants to sit back and play boring football. Like, I watch Tottenham and I'm like, okay, we could score five goals today and we could also concede six, but it's going to be an entertaining game and I'm enjoying football. Yes, I want to win, but Chelsea did it one season, didn't they? Or two, three seasons where they just parked the bus the whole time and knocked up the Drogba, you know, and then won the league. There's a whole team was parking the bus. That was Mourinho, wasn't it? Yeah, that season.
Yeah, but you'd love that, Luke. When you're in the middle of it and you're parking a bus and a team can't score against you and you go and win 1-0 and you win the league, you don't give a fuck.
Don't get me wrong. I'll take it. Tottenham, we need a trophy. We need to win something. You know, we'll take it just to shut people up.
Yeah, you do.
But like, you know, it's going to be like, well, you played the whole season, you played the worst football all season. It's like, well, we've got a trophy. Yeah, but then it's always going to come back. especially with Tottenham, it's always going to come back. Because we've only won that, it'll be that, oh, you only won that one trophy in like 30 years. It was because you parked the bus the whole fucking season. Like, we're still in the, ignore the Premier League, yeah, in terms of points-wise, but ignore that. We're still in FA Cup, Coca-Cola Cup, as Tom says, and the Europa League as well. So we're still in the three trophies.
Not for them.
I mean, we probably still get knocked out of all three of them, but the chances are still there. So for now, it's like, well, why would anyone want Ange out at this point in time? We've already got further than we have done in the last few years in the Carling Cup. We've got Liverpool, not looking forward to that game, but hopefully we have some injuries.
Well, you've done all right this game. Oh, wait.
Well, remember, yeah. Luke, as well, if you do actually win the FA Cup, like, God forbid you do, but if you do, you'll have a chance of winning another trophy, like the Community Shield.
Yeah, we don't class that as a trophy.
They count.
Do they count? I know. Statistically, I think Arsenal's have won. Like, I think your whole trophy statistics or something. You know,
they don't count, man.
Like, what, 33% or something like 30% of your trophies are.
they don't care. Talk to me about trophy statistics. You've got the fucking Norfolk Hospital League Cup from 1958 in your record, so don't start on me.
That's it, mate. You know, got to have a cabinet somewhere.
Certainly have. Well, West Ham got the most prestigious one.
Oh my God!
But
the
World Cup,
right?
Exactly. But yeah, I think that's fair enough to say, Luke. Does anyone else have anything they want to say about Spurs, or Luke, any closing thoughts at all before we move on?
We're going to finish in top four.
Fucking West Ham are about to leapfrog you, and that's embarrassing.
Oh, don't tell me about it.
Let's move on to Arsenal against Crystal Palace then. Jesus loves it, doesn't he, Tom?
He does. It's the Arsenal, by the way, Bob.
Oh my God.
No, it was, you know, after the games we had against Fulham and Everton, I was looking at Palace. Before those, I was thinking, Fulham away is tricky. Everton, you've got to be getting 3 points. And I was thinking, Palace is a really tricky game. You know, the cup game as well. And just smashed them. Just absolutely smashed them. And the thing was, the pundits were after saying, but it weren't a 5-1 game. I kind of agree with them to a certain extent. It wasn't like we was, you know, absolutely battering them and smashing the door down, but it was, they just were just clinical when they needed to be, really. And Palace were a bit lacklustre. They scored a good goal, Palace, the equaliser. It kind of just sort of ran into space and no one sort of shut him down, and he just stuck it in the bottom corner. And I just looked at it after and thought, it didn't seem really what anyone could have done to stop him apart from just going and taking him out. But one of them goals. But yeah, Jesus, whatever you want to call him, seems to have found his scoring boots again. The cup game done him the world of good. I was there because I'm a real fan. Goes to game.
Here we go. Goes to one game.
Cheap tickets for those games.
Yeah. Shit. And you can see I think it was the first goal he scored, or the second, he absolutely levered the ball. He looked up and he put his foot right through it. And he just thought, that's the way to win a fucking football. And that's what he ain't been doing. He just looks like
though, well.
Second one, he was offside. I mean, we always moan about VAR, but when it ain't there, I mean, I wasn't moaning about it, but he's found his mojo again by the looks of it.
So you were saying about obviously Arsenal being clinical, and I think that's probably what's been missing over the past few weeks. Would you say that's fair to say?
They've not had a lot of cutting edge, really. I mean, everyone's been making a big deal about, you know, set piece FC and all this kind of shit.
Stoke FC.
ridiculous, honestly. So to score 8 goals from open play in the space of 3 days, we'll take that. I mean, they were counting one of them as a corner, which come from a rebound after, so I'm not counting it as a corner.
What a finish that was by...
Honestly, when you saw it from behind the player, it curled right outside the post, didn't it, and come back in. It's a great finish. But yeah, it was good to see a bit of flow. I thought when Saka got injured, I thought, you know, everyone's just thinking, oh shit, it's going to be terrible. How do you replace him? And he stuck Martinelli on the right. And Martinelli's been having a right tough time, to be honest. He works really hard and he doesn't stop running. I think that's why Arteta loves him so much. He plays him because he just does such a good job defensively. But he kind of runs, this season especially, just sort of like he gets the ball and he runs down a blind alley. Just he can't beat a man anymore. And he's so predictable on the left, and he stuck him on the right, and he is right-footed. They do the thing where they're cutting in on their strong foot from the opposite side. He stuck him on the right, and he could go round men on the outside. I know Luke loves to see that, and Saka can't do it, apparently. So Martin goes straight out on the right, and he's going round men on the outside and putting balls in on his strong foot, and he looked dangerous all of a sudden.
Yeah, you just need a person in the box, though, didn't you? Like someone like a Calvin Lewin or someone like that, or an Isaac?
Or a Jesus at the moment.
Jesus,
yeah. Well, yeah, but against better teams, you're going to need a better striker.
Oh, I don't know. You know, if he's in form.
I went for the crosses.
Well, you've got Havertz in there. He's good in the air. So.
But I think I said before to you, Tom, before you went to that game, that I'd be worried about Palace.
Yeah.
And obviously, it wasn't much to worry about. I think the first game was probably a little bit more. But obviously, Jesus had an impact on that game. But was there anything else from that game that you thought was maybe different, and that's why you were a bit more clinical in open play?
In the cup game, it was so lacklustre. The first half, it was flat. The atmosphere was flat. Palace went 1-0 up after a couple of minutes, and they'd like 8,000 fans just going mental in there. And he brought Odegaard on in the second half and he changed the game completely. Also, I wanted to say, like Mitch, I thought we had done an absolute job on you getting Sterling for 100 grand a week. But my God, he is fucking shit.
He is shit.
He's like, he's just, I think he's ready for retirement, mate.
I've been saying it for a while. He's
there was a bloke sitting next to me absolutely slagging him and he was like, oh, he's. The only thing he's got is pace. And I was like, he's got pace. I was like, he don't have to use it. He was offside 3 times in the first half and he did no right to be offside at all. And he missed a sitter in the second half and he got the rebound at the bar and he went off and after the crowd were cheering, he was going off. It was a strange how he's gone. And he can't get near the league team. He's not even, when we're like Everton the other week, we're begging for a goal. You think we've got Sterling on the bench, get him on, another attacker, and he don't want to use him.
Yeah, he can't retire because he's got like 20 kids, isn't he?
It's not getting to that, Luke.
To be fair, Everton are a very,
it's only
very
facts.
Good team.
You know, he's got a lot of money to spend that.
But, you know, with regards to this game, the league game, I don't know. It looked like it had the potential to just be a complete end-to-end. It was 1-0 after 5 minutes, 6 minutes. They equalised a couple of minutes later. Then it was 2-1 to Arsenal, and I think you were like 15, 20 minutes in. And I was watching it with some mates, and I said, this has just got the potential to be like 5-4 this game, the way it's going. Thankfully, it didn't. When we got the third goal, they just seemed to shut shop. Mind you, saying that, Raya did make, I think, 2 or 3 absolute class saves in the game. They did come out actually the second half, thinking about it. They came out quite strong, Palace. I think they had a really good chance straight away in the second half. Raya had to be right on his toes for it. But they just played well. They were just a bit more clinical. Just had a bit more cutting edge. And I was a bit worried, like you say, Bob, about Palace. I was looking at thinking, look, they've just come into form. They've had a bad start and they've just sort of come into some form and we've got to play them twice in a week. And, thankfully, they were shit.
There were a couple of moments in that match, the league match I'm talking about here, where they, I think you was maybe 3-1 up at the time or something, and then they had a couple of good chances and I thought, fucking hell, it looks like they were going to bounce back a little bit at that point. And then I think you got the fourth goal and you just kind of shut them off. But yeah, I think Raya definitely made a couple of good saves. I think that, was it Mateta or was it, what's his name? The other guy that he'd done like a bit of a double save, didn't he? It weren't as impressive as the previous double save that he
did. Yeah. I can't remember who it was now, to be honest. But
I think it was Sarr again, wasn't it? It came out to him. But yeah, there were points where I thought, shit, Palace are going to start stepping on it now a bit, but then you just...
There was one in the first half when Saliba made a right cock-up and Mateta went through and he did about as much as he could do, really. Right was just sort of there to... He just got enough in the way. And so that would have been 2-0 at that point. But, you know, that's what he's there for.
Yep.
It's his job, as Roy Keane would say.
Yep. Cool. All right.
Overall, very happy, Bob. Very happy.
I'm glad to hear it, Tom. I'm always happy when you're happy. Do any of the rest of you have any thoughts on Arsenal? Or, Tom, do you have any closing thoughts?
It's the Arsenal.
Sorry. The Arsenal.
Get him out.
Are you happy with your where you are in the league?
No, we should be top.
Fair enough.
No, we've had too many draws. I honestly can't see us winning it. I just don't. Liverpool are going to have a massive drop off to catch them. Obviously, they got the game in hand. But it's a long way. It's still over. We're not even halfway yet. We've still got to play them, and they've got to play everyone else again. So it's doable, but that's reliant on us not dropping any points still, you know. And if you've got the games like Everton in you,
hard game.
That was a 0-0 loss for us. So same as you today. It's horrible when you lose 0-0, isn't it?
It really is.
You now got to worry about Saka potentially being out for a little while. Has there been any news on that yet?
No, I think they're being pretty quiet on it. Hopefully, it's just minor. It might be a week or two, but it looks like he's going to miss a few games at least. So,
well, he's not that good anyway, is he? he's a poor man's Palmer.
He's world class.
Oh, I won't go that far.
He's knocking on the door.
Knocking on the door.
It's a log
down
old door.
The door, mate. He's smashed down that door.
There's a joke there somewhere.
Yeah, not for this podcast, so Mitchell. Well, talking of people drawing, Mitchell, Chelsea obviously had the chance to go top of the league for an hour or so earlier on today. What happened?
I'll tell you what.
Gutted.
All right, fuck you. Listen, I hope you got some questions ready because this is going to be incredibly short. Because it weren't on TV.
Venus.
Whoa. Tom will tell you otherwise.
Everton are a very strong team, though.
Thank you. Yes. As Arsenal know, Everton, they're world class. They've gone full Sean Dyche. They're just, you know, boring, stubborn arseholes. I'll do a look. We dominated. I mean, 75% possession. You just don't see that these days.
But we done that last week against them.
Did you?
Yeah.
No, you don't see that these days, mate.
It's so rare 2 weeks in a row, isn't it?
couldn't break them down. 5 shots on target. I've seen 3 minutes of highlights. I'm gonna have a little dig at Jackson. God bless him. You know I love him. He's grown on me. But he had a chance in the first half. Which, you know, you get that first goal and Dyke's tactics go out the window. It was a nice ball from Palmer. And he's just slot it in any fucking corner. This is what wound me up with him last season. Slot it in any corner, he just shoots it straight at the goalkeeper. That's what used to annoy me about Jackson. But I'm not going to moan about him too much because he has stepped up this season and he is a bit more decisive in front of goal and he's mixing it up a little bit. So I will let him off. But if we had got that first goal, you're looking at a completely different game. Although having said that, they had a pretty good few chances themselves. And Sanchez made some great saves. I have little digs at Sanchez, but he kept us from losing that game. Because their chances were a lot better than our chances. Most of our chances were shot straight at the keeper. Their chances, Sanchez had to work to save it. I don't know. I don't know if we just weren't there today, weren't at it. Maybe we were expecting an easy game. I think it was 2 o'clock kickoff, maybe an early Sunday kickoff. They don't like it. I don't know.
Yeah, tough game in midweek as well, didn't they?
Tough game midweek. The old Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's hard. That is when your
B team. Must be tired after that.
Yeah, the B team. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know if they just dropped off, expecting an easy game. It wasn't there. But if you're going to have an off day, at least get a fucking point out of it, you know. There's not much else to say about it. I guess it's games like that where you can definitively say that's why we won't win the league this season, because if that was Liverpool, they're getting the 3 points there. So
yeah, I think that was my only question, really. Like, you had such a good opportunity today to put a bit of pressure, knowing that Liverpool were playing only a couple of hours after you, to put a bit of pressure on, get the 3 points, go top of the table. And then it might have been a completely different game against Spurs. Yeah. I mean, it might not have been, to be
they
fair.
They had an easier Spurs, game, to be fair. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But, but yeah, you had that prime opportunity. So it does kind of make you think, do you have it in you this year? Because I'm not going to lie to you, Mitchell, right? And you know my feelings towards Chelsea.
Yeah, sure.
But also I was getting a little bit worried, you know, you're closing that gap a bit. Yeah. And I thought you got that result against, who was it against? Not Shamrock Rovers, the one before that.
Brentford.
Yeah, you got the result against Brentford. And I thought this might be, you know, they might bottle this game. You didn't do it. You got the 3 points. And I thought this is a prime opportunity for you to do it. And if you do that today, I thought they're genuine contenders. And I still think you are, but yeah.
I think Liverpool are too strong. I mean, no, everything's fine because they're massively overperforming in my estimations. If we get top four, this is a fantastic season for us. Fantastic season. I wasn't even expecting top four before this season started. I thought maybe get Europa. So, you know, people talking about title contenders, that'd be lovely. I still don't see it like that. Liverpool are way too strong. Arsenal are going to start picking up. We are due a drop off. But a top four is now probably the most realistic. And that would be a good season to me. So, yeah, I don't know. Title contenders, not so much. But top four now, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, at the start of the season, you didn't put Chelsea in your top four.
No.
So you've got to be happy with that, right? And the only other note that I made was about... it was about Jackson, actually. So I actually saw two sitters that he kind of missed. One of them, he kind of hit the post a little bit, didn't he? But I don't know how much he could help that one.
Was that from a corner?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I did see that. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. You could argue maybe be a little bit more clinical, but he's done well this season. I'm not going to moan too much about him.
Well, that makes a change for you because you'd love to moan about him.
Yeah, but that puts the pressure on him. He's listening. He knows. And then he goes, I need to fucking impress Mitchell. I'm going out there today for it. That's what he does.
Yeah,
he's strong, but you've got the hump with him.
Yeah,
exactly. That's why he's like, oh, I'm going to turn up now. I'm going to do this. London is. Let's have it.
Okay, cool. Any closing thoughts, Mitchell, or anything you want to add, Tom or Luke?
Chelsea. Fuck Chelsea.
Yeah, definitely fuck Chelsea. Yeah.
London is blue, mate.
Listen, fuck Chelsea.
I did not
That's
say
brilliant.
It. So there you go.
Dear. Right. So on Chelsea, Mitchell, so you think the way that you're playing at the moment, and you mentioned about having a slip up, you think it's time you're going to slip up. Where do you see that in your fixture list?
I know what you're saying, because we have got a nice run of fixtures. But we, do you know what as well, right? Actually, right, we're going on off on a tangent here. But first of all, we always have a bad Christmas. We are due one, and it's probably going to be Fulham. Fulham will start it, and then we'll bounce back against Ipswich. Ipswich will turn up and beat us 1-0. Then we'll struggle against Palace. And then it's Bournemouth, which they're having a pretty decent season at the moment. And then it's Wolves, and Wolves are doing all right at the moment. They're banging in the goals. And then it's City. And then it's West Ham.
So that's where you'll get your points.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
West Ham is an easy three-pointer, to be fair.
Fuck you guys.
But, you know, I saw a stat the other day. Chelsea, since the turn of the millennium, what is it? Have won every. Oh, what am I trying to say? So we won the 4-5, we won 14-15, and now we could potentially win 23-24.
24-25,
sorry.
Honestly. Wow. If the year that Arsenal don't win the league because City have fallen to bits and we don't win it and it's Chelsea to do.
Fucking funny,
isn't it? I don't think I'm ever going to participate in any football of any kind ever again.
That's right. I thought you were going to say in any further podcasts.
I'm not even going to read a newspaper. I'm not going to listen to any podcast. I'm going to play.
What about a Matchday magazine?
I've got the Spurs bottle here. I'll just walk it round your house. You can have it pass the baton over.
It's devastating.
Cool. Any further thoughts on Chelsea other than fuck Chelsea?
Fuck Chelsea.
Fuck Chelsea.
Fuck Chelsea.
All right. I'll talk about West Ham for a minute then.
Fuck shall West Ham.
Yeah, that is actually my first statement. funny game again, to be honest. I mean, a point against Brighton, you can't argue with that. I think for the majority of the game, we looked like we were defensively more sound again, a bit more identity about us. I think it's clear what he's trying to do now, which is different to the previous games, but he does seem to like the whole soaking up the press thing, having a bit more control, and then going forward just to not score. One thing that I have noticed, and I don't know why he does it, but about the 70th minute, the past couple of games, he's been taking a couple of key players off and just trying to drop to like a back three. And it's just leaving a massive gaping hole in midfield and just allowing. So in this game, it just allowed Brighton to just go at us for the past 20 minutes. And I think we were lucky at that point to... Similar against Bournemouth, although I don't think we was lucky against Bournemouth. I do think we controlled the first half of that game, so I think we deserved a point there. But I think we were lucky against Brighton to only to get a point against them, because there was that 20 minutes of the game where they just looked completely on top, in control. We weren't winning any balls in midfield at all. I do think we was missing Soler a little bit. I think first half of the season he's been up there with one of our best players, which is saying a lot considering he's only started like 7 games, I think. But he was out today with suspension, or yesterday, whenever the fuck it was, I don't know. It's funny. I do see an improvement still in comparison to the start of the season. I still struggle to see where the goals are coming from. Like, I think Bowen will get a goal every now and then. Kudus would get a goal every now and then, but he hasn't really found his like scoring boots this season. Falkrug don't really look match fit at the moment, and I still don't think he's fully shown us what we should expect from him, so it's just a bit weird. And now obviously we've got Antonio out for however long, probably a year or so, if forever. He even comes back. It's just one of them. I'm seeing improvements, but we've got Southampton next, which I think we should win, although they got a decent point against Fulham today. But and then we've got Liverpool. So I think we should at least pick up 3 points from that. But yeah, it's weird. I don't really have much to say, to be honest. I think the first goal from Fabianski was a bit of a mistake from Fabianski. I say the first goal, Brighton only scored one. So,
Full Fabianski there, didn't he?
Yeah. It was a little bit of a mistake from him. And then the only other note is Estupiñán. How the fuck he didn't get sent off, I do not know.
Honestly, that was absolutely shocking. It's terrible. And it was even worse that they didn't.
I'm literally just watching it now. He's not in control. Both studs are up.
Two-footed off the ground. That was, you know, a couple of years ago.
Did VAR even look at it?
They didn't do anything. They looked at it and didn't. So just, you know, went, oh yeah, ref's decision.
Wow.
This is why they do themselves over. Because when they do have the opportunity to go, right, ref, you're actually fucking miles wrong. He's got to go. That's the kind of tackle that ends a career. Honestly, I watched it. I was fucking annoyed watching it.
And the ref's right in front of it as well.
It's right in front of him. And, you know, and they pull you up on stupid little things like give you bookings and yellow cards for fucking walking 2 yards extra on a throw-in. And then you've got geezers going in like that, 2-3 yards the ground. Leg breaker tackles. And then, well, he did win the ball. You used to get sent off for 2-footed off the ground if you got the ball because you were classed as out of control and you could seriously injure someone. But now you can do it, apparently.
It's just an absolute joke.
Like, challenge.
He could have snapped his shin in half.
He could have.
It was lucky that he didn't, really. Well,
what stage of the game was that?
Late on. I think maybe the 80th minute or something.
Still, they go down to 10 for the last 10 minutes and not give you the impetus to go and nick it.
I doubt it, the way we was playing the last 20. Really. But still, it's it was a dangerous challenge. Definitely should have been sent off. And Tom's absolutely right. That is where VAR fucks up. I'm all for the referees taking control of the game, letting the refs ref the game, as Luke would say. But like, when it's something like that, that is literally the sole purpose of VAR, to send someone off. So agreed. What are you doing? But yeah, that was my only other note. Do any of you have any questions or comments or anything to me?
I'm just waiting for Lopetegui to get sacked.
Won't happen.
Do you reckon he's safe now, Bob?
I don't think he's safe. And I think
the fans off his back a bit more with them 3 games about a loss now.
I don't think they are.
No.
I really don't think they are. I'm still sitting. I don't know why I do it to myself, but I go on YouTube and I watch stuff from West Ham fans and it just fucking winds me up so much.
Mate, I work with West Ham fans and they all want him out.
Exactly. Yeah, and I get it to an extent, right? It's not really entertaining football, but at the same time, just West Ham's expectations. I spoke about it on the podcast before. They're just far too high for what we are. Yes, we've got a good couple of players going forward, but as a whole, that team shouldn't really be hoping. You're overachieving if you're any more than mid-table, in my eyes.
Same as Tottenham. They should have that attitude.
They should, but they don't because they're deluded.
Deluded? this guy. Fucking hell. Wet massive, eh? Did you get spanked by us this season?
Oh, he's off.
I don't know why you have to mention that. I mean, first of all, how many elite European trophies have you got / World Cups?
We've won a few European trophies, but no World Cups, Bob.
Yeah, no elite European trophies. So.
Oh, elite. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. But yeah.
I think you are right, though, Bob. That expectation-wise, it's a conversation I've had with loads of people, especially West Ham fans, over the last 5 years, where everyone's been like, Moyes out, you know, we're not playing entertaining football. And you've said it a number of times. You've had the best probably 3 or 4 years that West Ham have had for the last 40 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's just football fans in general, they're fickle. You get a little taste of it and you want more and you forget what you were doing 5 years ago.
Yeah.
You know? And then a manager who brings you all your dreams with an elite European trophy, the next 6 months, he's a useless dog, and you want him out.
Well,
it's weird. It's fucking weird.
Yeah. It is weird, and like I joke obviously about it being an elite European trophy, but the fact that we even won a trophy in my lifetime is a complete shock to me because we were overachieving for all of those years. I don't care what anyone says. With that team, you don't look at that team and think they're going to win a European trophy, do you?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. I think
they were punching, but again, it shows you also got to remember as well that was the sort of the lower level of the three competitions. But the year before, you was in the semi-finals of the Europa.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and you was beating good teams in there. So, and it's a lot of it was, I think, you know, Rice was a big part of it. He's a world-class player. But David Moyes, he's an experienced manager. His pragmatism, how you set teams up, you know, it done a job for you, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was, But yeah, I think Rice also was like a massive part of that, because in those seasons, I don't think I've ever seen a player single-handedly drag us through matches like as much as he did for us. So yeah, he obviously had a massive part, but obviously he's dead to me now, so fuck him.
Scored a great goal yesterday, actually. I forgot to add that.
Did, it was a great finish.
Great goal.
So you want to play that attractive attacking football then? Would you take Ange Postecoglou? obviously, I don't want to.
They already concede 5 or 6 every week. I don't need that.
This is the thing, though, isn't it? This is the identity of the London clubs, is that if fans want that attacking, lovely football, and as you mentioned, Tom, is that, yeah, we'll probably bite a hand up if we just play defensively for the whole season. So if West Ham did that, let's say they played defensively all season just to stay out of relegation. Yeah, they'd be happy with that. They'd be happy with that, or would they rather play attractive football?
Some might, but that's not the West Ham way, is it, Luke?
No, well, that's it. And the same for Tottenham. So it's not a Tottenham way. We don't want to play boring football.
Yeah, but I think we're talking two very different. I mean, at not one point did I talk about me wanting attractive football at West Ham. Like, I would personally rather get results. I don't really give a shit, to be fair.
You mentioned about your fans wanting attractive football.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I'm getting at. Sorry, so with all your fans now being, I would say, minority or the loudest, saying they want attractive football, would they then prefer to have, from your perspective, then get someone like Angin with that lovely attractive football that fans can go and watch and enjoy? May concede 4 goals.
No, but no, they wouldn't prefer that. We would also still lose 6-3 or whatever, right? But what they want is a manager that comes in, plays really attractive football with a team that definitely isn't ready to get into the top four of English football, and get them in the top four of English football. That is the unrealistic nature of our fans.
Yes, like a Villa.
And most football fans, I would probably say, not just West Ham fans. That's basically what they want. It's mad how things change, because in the summer, we made all these signings, people were getting proper hyped about it. As soon as the results, you know, started turning against us, fucking burn him. Does made in.
Your expectations.
Goes back to what we were saying earlier when
giving people time.
We joked. We're like saying Tottenham had Nuno.
Yeah.
It was the same thing. I think he won the first 3 games and then he lost like 5 out of 7 or something silly. And he was only there about 15 games in for 4 months and they hounded him out. Yep. And it was like he's trying to change a philosophy and everything. And now he's at a club like Forest and they're fucking looking good. And Tottenham are still going around in the same circle. And you think, well, are West Ham going to do the same thing if they sack Robert Tagi?
Absolutely, they would. Absolutely would. I don't see anyone else that could come in. And this is the argument that we've had on this podcast like loads of times. Like, I don't see anyone else who would come in that would do anything better or reach the expectations that people have, because I don't think our team is a top six team. On paper, it's not a top six team. Unless you get very lucky.
Well, Championship.
Anyway, let's fucking move on from West Ham, because it pissed me off. So I was just talking about them.
Bob, can I just ask you, though, about West Ham? One thing I did notice. That guy that you got at the back, Todibo.
Yeah.
Is it like every single game, it seems, that I watch West Ham, Lopetegui gives him or Mavropanos like one half and then he starts?
Well,
is that all about?
So he did favour Todibo for a couple of games. And then I don't know whether this is a complete rumour, but I saw stuff about Todibo not necessarily getting on with Lopetegui Lopeturkey, as Clive likes to call him.
Lopeturkey.
Yeah. But the past couple of games, he's favoured Mavropanos, and I kind of figured that he would be doing that. I don't really know. And again, it comes down to this 70-minute changes that he seems to be doing, although I think this was half-time that he took him off.
Yeah.
But they just seem strange. They do seem strange changes, but there must be something there. I don't know what it is.
It's just like he seems like he don't know what team he wants. And like, if they're not doing it, well, any manager, if they're not doing it on the day you sub them off, but generally you don't see centre-halves especially get subbed at half time, do you?
It does definitely seem like that's the one player that he's trying to figure out in our defence. I think he's pretty he's obviously comfortable with Wan-Bissaka.
And Kilman.
I think he kind of switches between Soufal and what's his fucking name? I don't know. But it seems like Mavropanos and Todibo seem to be the two players that he's still trying to decide between. But then the past couple of games, I kind of thought, well, it looks like he's now favouring Mavro, because he did have a good couple of games. I know I said earlier on in the podcast that he's the one that makes me nervous, and he does. But the past couple of games, I've actually thought he looked quite decent. And like I say, with the covering of Wan-Bissaka when he gets a bit too forward, that kind of stuff. So I thought that was going to be his decision going forward, but obviously not. There must be something there, and I don't know what it is. You have to ask Lopetegui.
I'll ask him.
Yeah.
I've got sources.
He's a guest next week, so I've prepared a nice intro for him. Cool. Should we move on then? I can't actually remember what's next on the agenda. I think it might be Mitchell's whatifery.
I was going to say, Bob, I don't know if you want to maybe save the whatifery, because we are already an hour in and we've got man versus AI and we've got two fixtures.
Listen, motherfucker, right? Who's running this fucking podcast this week?
Clive.
Yeah, good idea. Let's move on to Tom's quiz question.
Strike him, Centurion.
Very waffly.
Well, your man has spirit.
There was only like a little trivia thing, just in the like spirit of of London is. I was just looking back through sort of players that have crossed the divide, you know, across London for some of the teams.
Oh, let me get Google ready.
No. So there's a few players that have obviously just done between Arsenal and Tottenham. Do you know who they are, Luke?
Gallas was one. Yeah.
Tom Campbell. That's why I wonder who you say. That was it. That was the whole point of it all.
Yeah. Gallas. Yeah, that's it.
Well, Gallas was three clubs, wasn't he?
Yeah, doesn't matter. Still counts.
Chelsea scum. Yeah. And then you had obviously players that played for teams like Chelsea, West Ham and Tottenham. Any guesses, boys?
Chelsea, West Ham and Tottenham. Bobby's more?
Lamps. Oh, he didn't go to Tottenham, did he?
No, Lamps didn't.
Zamora was Tottenham and West Ham.
Jimmy Greaves.
Oh, you mentioned last week.
You did, didn't you? Last week, you wanted him. And Scott Parker.
Oh, yeah.
Scott Parker, yeah.
I completely forgot that he went to Chelsea, to be honest. Or he was at Chelsea.
Yeah.
There's been a few between Chelsea and West Ham.
Lampard.
Yeah.
Who's the other fucker? Victor Moses.
Joe Cole.
Glenn Johnson.
Yeah. Glenn Johnson, yeah.
Wayne Bridge. There's more, but I didn't get them all. And then
Victor Moses was definitely one of them.
There's a few that play for West Ham, Chelsea, Arsenal. Not Tottenham.
Are we counting Declan Rice as he was a youth player at Chelsea?
No, we're not counting that. There's actually only one. It's Yossi Benayoun.
Ooh.
What a player.
He was a great player. I like Benayoun.
There's loads between Arsenal and West Ham. Absolutely loads, because you are the retirement home for Arsenal, for the Arsenal.
Or is it the other way round?
No,
they just favour the bigger club at the end of their careers.
There are loads, mate.
West Ham have won more European trophies.
No, they haven't.
Righty is the big one. Right.
Yeah.
Declan Rice.
Declan Rice is the only one that I could see that went the other way. He went from West Ham to Arsenal.
Yeah, he's probably the best one as well, isn't he?
Yeah, out of all of them. He had like John Artson. Nigel Winterburn.
John
Artson.
John Artson. God, he was Celtic, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was quality.
Davor Suka.
Suka, quality.
Manuel Almunia.
Yeah.
Oh.
Shamak.
Shouldn't be mentioned with the others, should he?
Shamak. Okay,
you've got some players here. Shamak, Baramulte, Cabadiawara, Jeremy Aliadier, Lucas Perez, Henry Lansbury.
What?
Class players. Yeah. And some more successful, like Matthew Upson, Fabianski, and of course, Mavro.
Good old Mavro.
And then there's one player. There's one player, boys, who has played for all four clubs. Or been on the books at all four clubs, I'll say. Oh, and that's not a youth. That's not a youth thing either.
Give us a time period.
It's in the '80s.
All three clubs. All four.
Chop Ferraris.
No.
Four clubs.
You got 5 seconds because the silence is boring.
Rohan Ricketts. I don't know. That's too far. That's too fair. It was 80s. He would have been in the 90s.
Clive Allen.
Yeah. Okay.
Legend.
He actually signed for Arsenal for 1.25 million in 1980 and never played a game.
Brilliant.
And got swapped for Kenny Sampson.
Sounds like Arsenal business to me.
Yeah. He played for QPR, Arsenal, or not Arsenal, but it was at Arsenal, Palace, back to QPR, to Tottenham, to Bordeaux, to Man City, to Chelsea, to West Ham, to Millwall, and then ended up at Carlisle. And then he was also the caretaker manager at Tottenham twice. So you can categorically say he's the biggest turncoat in London. Mm.
Or they're just paying so much more money than those days. And
No loyalty to anyone. Scum, Clive Allen scum.
Yeah. I always used to think he was a bit of a legend, but
Didn't Henri go from a club to Arsenal to Barcelona? I mean, not everyone stays at the one club.
Yeah, but these are London clubs. Luke. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. That famous local rivalry between Arsenal and Barcelona, though, Tom.
Yeah, don't forget that's it.
It was at one point.
Yeah.
Caused me great pain over the years.
In the final.
Shut up.
Claire's
birthday. Remember him losing.
Oh, yeah. Down the town,
goat. Yeah, that's funny.
That was messy, wasn't it? Right, anyway.
Cut this out, please. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Tom. That was a very fitting quiz question for our podcast. Yeah. Thanks, Tom.
I still want to know what E3 is, so.
Yeah, I mean, Mitchell's apparently just taken himself off of that, so we'll do it next week. According to Mitchell. Yeah. So, man versus AI. Mitchell, do it.
Oh, I haven't done it in a while, Bob.
Well, do it now.
Do we bring it back?
Yes, fucking do it now, please. Man versus AI. Please. Thank you. Right. Okay. So, how does Clive normally do this, actually? He normally does the results first, doesn't he?
He goes, mingle between yourselves and I'll sort this out.
No, don't worry, boys. Don't worry, boys, right? Because I have sorted it out already.
Good man.
I mean, that's how you fucking should do it. Clive, take note.
I know. If you're listening to this, Clive, your job's taken, mate. We're getting top on.
Tom, you're here next week as well.
Yeah. I'm here next week. I'm going to have insight from the game. I'm going to Arsenal Ipswich. Yes.
Wow.
That's what the listeners want.
Yeah. Wow. Well done, Tom. Yeah, great. Thanks. Brilliant. Thanks, Tom.
Fun that you took it.
Right. Okay. So we're going to go through last week's results. So West Ham versus Brighton. Bob predicted West Ham 2, Brighton 1. AI predicted... sorry, I got 0 points. AI predicted West Ham 2, Brighton 1. They also got 0 points. Gutted, you shit robot. Cool. Crystal Palace versus Arsenal. Clive didn't predict that. Hang on, sorry, boys. Sorry, hang on. Clive predicted Arsenal 2, Palace 0. And got 1 point. AI predicted Arsenal 2, Crystal Palace 1, and they also got 1 point. Everton versus Chelsea. Mm. Mitchell predicted 2-0 Chelsea and got 0 points. And AI have predicted Chelsea 2, Everton 1, and also got 0 points. And finally,
oh dear.
Luke predicted Tottenham 1, Liverpool 1, and got 0 points.
Mug.
And AI
got 0 points as well.
Yeah, AI also predicted Tottenham 2, Liverpool 2, and also got 0 points. So, not much movement in the leaderboard this week. So, that leaves Mitchell still at top with 13 points.
For now.
For now. Bob in second with 12 points. Clive in third with 11 points. And Luke in fourth with 6 points.
He's not in double digits.
So with the predictions for this week, it's going to work a little bit differently because Arsenal have only one game and then it falls into our next podcast. So we're only going to do one prediction. I've been told this by Clive.
What?
So they've got Ipswich and then I don't think they've got another game until the new year. Is that right, Tom?
I think it's New Year's Day. It's Brentford away.
Yeah. Yeah. So on that Wednesday, obviously we'll do a podcast next Monday after the Chelsea game and then we'll predict Arsenal's next game then. I hope that's okay, Tom.
All right, but the rest of us are still doing the two, right?
The rest of us are doing the two. Okay, so I'm going to do both of the games for each team in a row because it just makes it easier.
Yeah, makes sense.
So, Mitchell, Chelsea versus Fulham.
Let's go 1-1.
Ooh, okay. Chelsea v Ipswich?
4-1.
To Ipswich?
Ipswich.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Luke, Nottingham Forest.
3-1, Spurs.
He loves it, this guy.
Okay. Wolves?
4-0.
Oh. To Spurs, yeah?
Yep.
I feel like that's going to be like a 4-4.
Yeah. Properly.
Because they're pretty shit, but they're banging in the fucking goals.
Yeah. Luke really wants that Arsenal shirt. Mate, just convert into an Arsenal supporter now, if you want.
No.
Okay. Tom, Arsenal against Ipswich. You'll obviously be there as part of the firm.
I will. Will with my 12-year-old son backing me up.
Nice.
I say Ipswich 0, the Arsenal 4.
Okay. Funnily enough, Clive also predicted Arsenal 4, Ipswich 0.
Great minds.
Yeah.
Support Arsenal.
Yeah. And Southampton versus West Ham. I'm going to go 2-0 West Ham. And West Ham against Liverpool, I'm going to go 3-0 Liverpool. Right, let me just do the predictions. Talk amongst yourselves.
For dramatic effect, I was hoping everyone would just stay silent.
Yeah.
But that's it, that's all you're getting, Bob.
Okay, well, that's fine because I already had them typed out. So,
right.
Yeah, you're damn right. Clive, yeah.
Do the sultry voice.
Excuse me?
Clive's sultry voice.
I don't know how to do Clive's sultry voice. I'm gonna talk about the predictions. So Chelsea versus Fulham. AI's prediction: Chelsea 2, Fulham 1. Rationale: Chelsea's strong home form and recent attacking improvements suggest they can edge out Fulham. That sounds sexy. Who have struggled defensively in recent weeks. Ipswich versus Chelsea. AI's prediction. Really? What was that?
I don't know.
Is that your doll, Luke?
What kind of doll are you talking about?
The AI doll.
The AI doll, yeah.
Right. Should we get our predictions?
Don't tell people about that. Are we kidding us?
Ipswich versus Chelsea. AI's prediction, Ipswich 0, Chelsea 3. Ipswich's defence frailties against top-tier opposition and Chelsea's superior squad quality makes this a likely dominant win for Chelsea. Dominant, yeah. Eh? Just like all Luke right. is with his doll. next prediction. Nottingham Forest versus Spurs. AI's prediction, Nottingham Forest 1, Spurs 2. Rationale, Forest... Oh, God, it can't speak properly. Have been solid at home, but Tottenham attacking strength with players like Son and Kulusevski could be decisive in securing an away win. Spurs versus Wolves. AI's prediction, Spurs 2, Wolves 0. Spurs are typically strong at home, and Wolves' inconsistency on the road may result in a comfortable victory for Tottenham. Fuck me, this is long today, isn't it?
It is. That's why we're saving the whatevery.
True. Southampton versus West Ham. Oh no, sorry. Arsenal versus Ipswich. Wait, did I already do this? No, I done another Ipswich, didn't I? Right, Arsenal versus Ipswich. Arsenal 4, Ipswich 1. Arsenal's superior attacking options and depth make them overwhelming favourites against a struggling Ipswich side. Southampton versus West Ham. AI prediction, Southampton 1, West Ham 1. Fuck off, mate. rationale, both teams have been inconsistent and had a hard-fought draw seems the most likely result given their current forms. And finally, West Ham versus Liverpool. AI's prediction is West Ham 1, Liverpool 3. Liverpool's attacking power and ability to exploit defensive lapses gives them the edge, even against a resilient West Ham team. Resilient. Yeah. All right. Cool. So that's man versus AI. Anything else we want to go through before we go?
Clive's just going to listen to that and go, see, Bob, not as easy as it looks, is it?
Yeah, I know. He's definitely going to say that. Okay. Well, we'll leave it there then. Merry Christmas, everyone. Happy Lopa Turkey Day.
And Merry Christmas, everybody.
I'm ending it.